So in Isaiah chapter 40, the Lord says, comfort ye my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain shall be made low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. These are the words of Isaiah. And this is the prophecy of the coming of the Lord. The prophecy of the coming of the Savior. For all of these 1,500 years between the Exodus and between the coming of Jesus Christ to the world in a body, to be crucified for you, to live a life and be crucified for you. God is doing a mighty work. He's doing a mighty thing. Over in Micah chapter 5. Verse 2, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. So Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem, the prophet Micah tells us. So we listen to these prophecies, these words that were over 400 years before Jesus was born. We listen to the Word of God. We listen to the Bible. The Scriptures are most accurate. And so they give us understanding of what God is doing to redeem us. He has made a plan. You remember in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where he told Eve that the seed of the woman, told Adam and Eve, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent will bruise his heel. So we have been given, good morning, we've been given this promise from God. And so God has created the heaven and the earth. The sun came up this morning, and God's creation still runs. It still operates. The heat doesn't operate, but God's... In fact, check that heat. Zoe, if you check that heat, well, it seems like it's chilling up. It's cooling off in here. Oh, did we do that on purpose? Okay, let's turn the heat up a little bit. So, but God is doing a great thing in the earth, and he began it from the very beginning of creation, didn't he? Amen? He thought of you. He thought of you from the beginning of creation, and he began this purpose and this plan. And he's created this redemption plan for you so that daily he can have a relationship with you. He doesn't want to wait until he comes back to have a relationship with you. He wants to do it today. He began it with the angels, with the angels with the shepherds. Did you see that? We're going to read that part of the story as well. Over in Luke chapter 1. Everybody's like, Luke chapter 1, oh yeah, I remember that one. Been preaching that all month. I say Luke chapter 1 because I'm going to start with something else. Over in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, when the angel came, first of all, the angel came to Mary. Didn't think I knew where I was going, did you? All right. Now, this is talking about the sixth month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth with John the Baptist. In verse 26 of chapter 1 of Luke, he says here, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. You realize they started in Nazareth, right? Mary was in Nazareth. They didn't just like come after they got back from Egypt. Mary started in Nazareth. She and Joseph were there. You know, it's not that they weren't just like deciding later, well, where should we land? You know, because it says when they came back from Egypt, you know, they ended up in Nazareth. Well, there's a reason they ended up in Nazareth. That's where all their family was. So this angel knew right, he knew her zip code, and he knew right where Mary was. He knows right where you are. Amen. Thank the Lord. He knows right where you are. If you've been living in a place 50 years, he knows where you are. If you've been living in a place and you're kind of tentative, like me and Jack here, you know, and you hope to land someplace soon, but you're not sure. God knows exactly where you live. So, he was sent by God. I love to read the Bible slowly because you pick up more stuff. If you read the Bible fast, it doesn't really help, you know, because you're blathering. You're just, you know, running through the Bible. It's just not helpful. So he says here, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, who? The angel Gabriel was sent by whom? Sent by who? Who did he send him by? By God. He didn't just come on his own. You know, he was sent by God. He was specifically sent by God. To a city, to a particular place of Galilee named Nazareth. So he's zeroing in. It's like your GPS. Okay, we're in the United States. We're in Texas. We're in Fort Worth. Then we take a left turn and we end up in Newark, where my house is. See, or you end up in some other little small burg, small village. God knows exactly where you are, doesn't he? Amen. He does. He's coming to find you. He knows your apartment number. It's really funny. He knows right where you are, and he's visiting you. Now, not to get pregnant necessarily, but this was a specific deal. But God has specific deals for you too, doesn't he? Huh? God has specific things for you. He will visit you. We're going to talk about it because he comes by a messenger. And the messenger for you is the Holy Spirit. All right? So he came to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. There's a lot of information in those two verses, isn't there? Just really meditate on that. And the virgin's name was Mary. Well, he even knew who she was. The angel knew who he was going to speak to. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Well, I think she probably had read that scripture over in Isaiah chapter 9. "And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And of his kingdom, there will be no end." There's verse 34 here, Luke 1. And then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I've not been with a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit," who? I can imagine, you know. The Holy Spirit wasn't talked about a whole lot. And all of a sudden he says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." This would be a new thing. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. That's a mouthful. That's a lot going on for this young girl. She's like probably 14 or something. That's a lot going on. But I believe God chose the right one. You know, God comes in and he gives you some information. He speaks to you by the Holy Spirit, or an angel, perhaps. But he speaks to you, and he knows that he has come to the right person. Not because of anything you've done, but because you are prepared for what he is about to tell you. And he will bring to pass what he says if you do what this girl did. And then now he talks about her relative here in verse 36. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived. Well, she knew Elizabeth. I think she knew about Elizabeth because later she went and goes and visits her. You know, so she knew about her. This old lady who's now giving birth, you know. So Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Those are good words, aren't they? This is kind of the biggest, most impossible one, right? This one right here that he's suggesting that all of this is going to take place is pretty much the big impossible one that you would think of. But he says this in one sentence. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Oh, yeah. Put a period on that. For with God, or put three dots after it. I'd rather maybe do that. Put dot, dot, dot. You know, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So, he's not just talking about Mary, he's talking about me. He's talking about you, because he has a life for you. You're an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You are the demonstration of Jesus Christ in the earth, and his power, and his love, and his grace, and his examples of power and goodness. These are things that God does in people on the earth. He does them in you. He doesn't just wait in heaven for you to arrive, you know, after having done, you know, in some denominations, your good deeds. No. In fact, you are messing up the whole way. You are messing up the whole way. That's why Jesus came and put his Holy Spirit on the inside of you to bring goodness and righteousness to pass in spite of you. He will use you to bring goodness and godliness in this world to somebody who needs it from you. And because every one of you who is born from above has the living God being demonstrated in them. Everybody. Not just one or two. You're not just like a secret agent that, or one of those CIA guys that gets called up when you're needed. No, every single day you are a demonstration, because the Holy Spirit and the light of God shines in you every single day. Every day when you open your eyes, the work of God is taking place. Say amen. The work of God is taking place every day when you wake up, no matter who you are, no matter where you live, no matter what you've been through. If you are born of God, the Holy Spirit is in you. And you don't get to investigate. You don't get to tell your, you know, tell God, you know, well, you know, this and that and the other thing. No, no. You're born again. You're born from above. Don't look at those things. Look only at him. Open his word. Thank him. You want to know what the will of God is? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 thereabouts. Is that what's the will of God? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. Not what you're enduring, The will of God is for you to give thanks. That's the will of God. Amen. For with God, nothing. Take that home. Put that on your fridge. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now look over at chapter 2, verse 3. We read a little bit of this last night because last night it was, you know, the night was celebrate when Jesus is coming. Did you ever wonder whether if Christmas Day is Christmas Day, and Christmas Day is your birthday, what day were you born on? Maybe he was born tonight instead of last night. Just saying. Because it doesn't matter. I mean, Jesus came, you know. But I just think it's interesting is that usually when we celebrate your birthday, we don't celebrate the night before. And the story is not that, hey, well, we went to the hospital and we had this baby last night at about 8 o'clock. And then you don't say the next day is the birthday, do you? I'm just asking. So it's kind of interesting how we do this. Yeah, his birthday is actually December 24th, right? If it is that, maybe it's Rosh Hashanah, maybe it's in September, maybe it's Passover, maybe it's some other time, maybe when the winter solstice came along and they were having a party, the Christians decided to go take over their party. Oh, hey, can we join your party? Let's make it about something else. Let's make your party about Jesus. You know, they were celebrating harvest and all kinds of stuff, you know. So, but we celebrate. The issue is the angels came and talked to the shepherds and said, hey, there's a Savior today born in Bethlehem. Go see him. Over here in chapter 2, verse 3. So all went to be read to his own city to be registered for the census. And Joseph went up from Galilee. This is Luke 2, verse 4 now. And Joseph also went up from Galilee and out of the city of Nazareth to Judah, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Remember we talked about Bethlehem from Micah chapter 5, right? Okay, so that was a prophecy of his coming. Because he was of the house and lineage of David. Isn't that powerful how God orchestrated this whole census thing just to get Joseph and Mary down to Bethlehem? They really had no reason to go there, no money to go there, no means to go there. They lived way up in Nazareth. That'd be like going from Grapevine to Burleson. That's a long trip for back in those days with a pregnant lady on a donkey, if you have one. I mean, we see the pictures with the donkey. We don't know that they had one. And so here, they're coming down here, and they're traveling down that way. And he's got to get him from Nazareth to Bethlehem to fulfill the silly prophecy. But God did that. God orchestrated the whole world. He created a tax law. Maybe he knew the tax law was coming. So in the fullness of time. See, so it's either he orchestrated the time or he orchestrated the legislation, something. But God gets his job done, doesn't he? Because to have them born in Bethlehem, he had to get them out of Nazareth down to Bethlehem. So he had to do that. So it was either, or he orchestrated the date. You know, Jim used to say it was on April 15th, that taxes have always been on April 15th ever since Roman times. And there's some evidence for that. All right? So he got him down to he had to be in Bethlehem. He had to be in your town where your people are from to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Amen. Now, of course, you know, you talked about how the shepherds. I talked about the shepherds last night. I won't read the passage, but here immediately following, and there were in the field shepherds watching their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord came and said, "Hey, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. A Savior is born in Bethlehem, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes," like he was just read, "lying in a manger." And all of a sudden there was a multitude of the heavenly host in singing. Or I don't know, or saying. It said they're said. You know, it's been said that only people sing. Angels don't sing. Only people. That's interesting. That was an interesting observation. You know, that somebody had made out of the scripture that the angels always say stuff. Even right here, you know, who wrote the hallelujah chorus? It wasn't the angel. He said it, but he didn't write it. A man wrote it, you know. Hallelujah. You're thinking the angels are singing that. No, it's just people. So we've got these angels, and they're saying, glory to God in the highest, a multitude. So they're celebrating. The angels are celebrating the birth, the entrance of the Savior. You know, you can't have a death, burial, and resurrection unless, like in the Creed, unless you have a baby born of a virgin. The baby had to be born, and so we celebrate his birth. Now, the birth didn't help you, other than the fact that it got him here. So the birth got him here to do the job, just like getting him to Bethlehem got him where prophecy was fulfilled, right? So now we've got Jesus here. He's located where he needs to be, right here with you, to live with you, to be tempted in every way like you are, yet without sin, and then to go to the cross. So he had to be born so that he could die. Matthew chapter 2, our final scripture. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all of the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people.'" Well, my goodness. That's that same scripture we read back in Micah about where's the Savior to be born. They just recited this to Herod. "And then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared." And of course, recently, you know, have lots of astronomical information about the alignment of stars and how God can create a star that is a mega star that appears to move. And did so for this purpose. Or he just made a big star. You know, people like to have all kinds of explanations of things, you know. Well, you know, this one moved up with this one, and they lined up, and it only happened 2,000 years ago. Maybe. But you know what? You weren't there. So you don't know. But either one is a miracle of God. God said, you remember when he told the sun to stand still so that Joshua could finish his battle? God can do anything like that. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So maybe he did. You know, Jupiter and Saturn and some other moon together and made this big star. And because the planets are constantly moving. You know, the stars, way out stars, or maybe the whole thing is moving, but it's hard for us to figure all that out from our one vantage point. We've got one little telescope flying around in the, you know, got the James Webb out there. And it's telling us everything. You know, it's all we know. We only have one vantage point. And this is it. This is the one vantage point that you have. This book. Amen? This is your one vantage point. Your one thing that you have to be able to look into the heavens is this Word of God. And because not just the words on the page, but He reveals it to you. He speaks to you and He reveals it to you. So these guys were studying not only the stars, they were studying the Scriptures. So He says, be aware of the times. He tells you to look around. Look up from your Bible. Look around, you know. Be aware of what is happening in your age, and you can see what God is doing, answering His prophetic word. So here in again in Matthew chapter 2, verse 7, 8, 9, verse 8. And He sent them to Bethlehem, these wise men. He sent them to Bethlehem. He asked them what time the star appeared. And then he's doing his research here. Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him too. I'm all about worshiping another king. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came, just like the song we sang there, till it came and stood over where the young child was. I was mentioning before that stars seem to be stagnant. Now the world turns, so you really can't nail that down. But planets move, like in several days, you might see a planet move from one place to another in the sky. So over a period of days, it could look like a star for them could look like a star might be moving. And if these planets are reflecting the sun and they're aligned, then they potentially could look like a moving star. Again, I'm not the new astronomer. I read the story. And when they saw the star, verse 10, they rejoiced and with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod. Now whether they were Christians or not, we don't know. We don't know who these guys are. These were wise men from the east. These were guys who studied all kinds of scriptures and all kinds of documents, you know. There were no Christians, but were they Jews that had been displaced? I don't know. But they had somehow read prophecies and scriptures about a king which is going to be the Bible. It's going to be the Jewish scriptures. And they were divinely warned then that they should not return to Herod. They departed to their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the child and his mother and that night and departed into Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled that which is spoken by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Here ends the reading. So today, I encourage you, I bless you in the name of the Lord, that because the wisdom of God, and God talking to these wise men, and God talking then to Joseph, and telling him to go from here to there to protect his son until the day that he needed to be on the cross. He wasn't going to let the devil foil the plan. And he won't let the devil foil your plan, foil the plan for you. Amen? He will not let the devil foil the plan for you. God's got a plan for you. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. He's got a plan for you. He's working that plan. The reason Jesus came, he came in the fullness of time. And he also knew, part of the fullness of time is he knew when you were going to be born and where you were going to be born and what he was going to use you for. He used Jesus to redeem his people and save them from their sins. He's using you to be a testimony and a witness for that finished work. Thank God for Jesus Christ coming to the earth, loving you. He loves you today. He's not looking at your sins. God's looking at Jesus, and your sins are forgiven. So anybody, everybody has the need to repent and to receive Jesus and to be born again. And all you have to do is say, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. And I receive your finished work on the cross. Thank you for indwelling me by the Holy Spirit and showing me your goodness every day. Amen. Now we're the last song on your sheet there. We'll follow along with our dear friend Melissa Murray, and then we'll continue.
This is to lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds, God, and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him love, the babe, the son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? The Christian fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. Nails, spears shall pierce him through, the cross be bore for me, for you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the babe, the son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise the song on high, the virgin sings a lullaby. Joy for Christ is born, the babe, the son of Mary.
Our God is an awesome God. He's a good God. Father, we love you. We give you praise and thank you for your blessings today. Thank you for the goodness of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost to bring to pass this salvation for us. We thank you, Lord God, that you're bringing to pass all things for our blessing. To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And to love our neighbor as ourselves. We thank you that Jesus arrived in the fullness of time that to keep us and to redeem us. We thank you for these times that we have together. Father, we thank you that the whole world stops because somebody's making something to be sold and given as a Christmas gift in Bangladesh or in India or in Brazil or in Mexico or some, even the farthest flung places on the earth where people don't know the name of Jesus, but they know Christmas because the whole world stops to know Jesus. That Jesus puts the brakes on the whole world at this time. So everybody knows that there's a Savior that's come to the world. So we give you glory, we give you praise, and we thank you for this word today, encouraging us that for God, nothing will be impossible. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas.